Good morning, everybody. This is the Hour of Truth. We're sitting in here for Rick, who is on the road. He's set out, according to the Facebook post, 45 minutes ago for home, towing the trailer. I have Charlie here and Phil here. And we will stipulate, that none of us belong here. Why did anybody choose the three of us to do this is beyond me. But we are here. I didn't hear
bottom
anybody.
Of the barrel?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We're the three people who weren't smart enough to walk away.
I would go that we were obedient to what we were told to do, is how I would look at it.
Always putting a positive spin on it, Charlie. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you know. Oh, well, praise God. So how's everyone today?
Well, we're doing well, I suppose.
Yeah? Yeah, yep. How's Phil doing?
I'm hanging in here.
Yeah, you got to unmute your mic a little quicker there.
You can hear me now?
I'm giving you a hard time because that's the way Paul is. It's like, Paul.
It is very enjoyable, but what is on anybody's mind? What came out? What did Steve talk about? What did we talk about? What is on people's minds today?
Well, you know, I know what Steve. I mean, first thing that was really went back to me was, you know, he went to Genesis 6, you know, and talked about the sons of man and or sons of God, and you know how they came down and stuff like that. And I thought that was kind of interesting. I mean, you know, you read it, and then a couple other things that just really stuck out today that I thought was interesting. But that's what Steve had, among other things, about trusting the Lord, you know, and leaning not into your own understanding, and acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he shall direct thy paths. But that's what we did today, and he mentioned what Phil spoke of, you know. Anyway, how about you, Phil?
Well, you know, I really liked it at the end of what Steve was talking about, where, you know, where it's not onto your own understanding, and hearkening unto the Lord, and you know, where the Lord gets the glory, because it's His direction that you're taken from, it's His way that you're partaking of, and I like that, because that's something that we can all partake in, and I know I'm screwed up, and my nature is terrible, and I don't want no part in that. And praise the Lord, He's given us a way to partake of His nature. So, I like that. That's kind of what stuck out with me.
Amen.
I don't know. I went up there, like 15 or 20 scriptures that were going through my head, and we play roulette and see what the Lord has me talk about. So it all kind of came together and was very interesting, but the scriptures are still just batting around in my head. As we were sitting there, I was thinking about, you know, the idea of, as we have received His word, as we have like Jacob did, we tend to high-five the Lord, and, you know, like we're on a merry-go-round, and every once in a while we come around and our hands touch. We don't ever really grab hold like Jacob did.
I wouldn't even know, for me, as to even touching. I mean, like, yeah. Even the high-five, I miss it, you know?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it is pretty pathetic. But the charge that once we have laid hold of all that, and all this promises that he's his provision for us, and the description of how this now works in Romans 8, and what we're supposed to do with all that. Because Paul says in 2 Corinthians that we've been given a ministry of reconciliation. And that means taking all that has been done to us, because it's not all about us, to other people. And making us, therefore, ministers of Jesus Christ. And offering that same grace, that ministry of reconciliation, to everybody out there who will hear. And as there are unique ministries that are given to those in our fellowships, there's people who are husbands and fathers, and in both cases, and they have a ministry to their family. And the challenge to them is, like those in authority over us, is to occasionally you have to go around and pick some weeds, because we kind of let, through lack of diligence or whatnot, we let some of the cares of this world and entanglements bind us up. I'm wondering how many husbands go through their wife's and children's gardens and pull the weeds out. Spend time removing the cares of the world from, and the struggles and snares that so easily beset, like the sin that so easily besets. I wonder how much time we spend ministering the grace and the mercy and the reconciliation to our husbands and or wives and children.
You know, that's neat that you are mentioning that, because that's one of the things that, one of the points that I was trying to get across this Sunday morning. I don't know if I did, but how much time? I mean, you know, I know for me, I lose focus of it's about the Lord throughout the day. I mean, we wake up, we have that opportunity to minister every day, and we should be grateful for that opportunity. And how many times, I know for me it's been like a correction this past week of just that, of me, it's more like, man, what can I do just to get through this day? I hope I make it through this day. It's not even, the perspective is not even, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. You know, what would you have me do today? You know, and putting on that mind of Christ. That's kind of what went to Romans a little bit. It was about the people walk after flesh, after the flesh, walk after the spirit. You know, what are we after? Too many times I'm after the flesh and not after the spirit and about his business. And the reason why I brought that up this Sunday is because it's a correction for me. And I don't know about you guys, but the place where I want to be in is in the spirit and being about his business. Well, I know that's how you guys
want to be. Well, it's kind of like what I was, you know, trying to hit at, which, you know, I mean, I find myself stumbling a lot when I try to say something, but, you know, it's to put off that carnal mind that we fight with. And I understand that, Phil, because I look at myself in the mirror and, you know, And it's not a pretty sight. I mean, and you guys have seen me. You know it's not a pretty sight when I look in the mirror. And it's tough, you know. And, you know, it goes back to that. It's back to that daily fight of putting the Lord first and acknowledging him in all your ways and leading not into your own understanding. And, you know, I know that I fall woefully short of that too, but I know that if my faith and trust is on Him, I will get to that point where I can be as Paul, the apostle.
Yeah. I didn't think you were aspiring to be like me.
I was going to amen that, but I didn't want it to go seem the wrong way, the way I'm saying amen. Well, praise the Lord.
I want to just clarify that one last point there.
You know, I just go, if James says, blessed are you when you fall into diverse temptations, we must be some blessed people. That's all I can say.
Well, you know, I know one thing where in talking to Phil recently, part of this falling into diverse temptations, you know, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, is that, you know, part of this whole training thing is that, you know, when you've gone through those diverse temptations, when you've wallowed in the mud, when you've had these pity parties, when you've had all this stuff come upon you, at the end that you're finally out of that pit, at the end that you're back on course with serving the Lord, you can take that experience and help others navigate that same mud pit. You know, you can reach out your hand and say, brother, I have been there. I understand. Put your eyes on the Lord, and he'll pull you out of it. And that's the thing where, you know, you see James says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations.
I'm just thankful somebody quoted it accurately, because I was just butchering it something fierce.
Well, it's one of my favorite verses, actually. I like James. James is one of my favorite books. Because, you know, count it all joy. Woohoo! All right! But, what? You know, it goes back to, you know, how can we minister to others if we haven't experienced it? You know, I mean, it goes back to what Steve said. You know, those who can't do, teach, and those who can do, don't teach, or whatever. I butchered that, but, you know, essentially at the point that you've learned to walk and you've learned to trust the Lord.
Now, what do you learn to trust? I mean, this whole thing, the why you count it joy is because you understand that he gives more grace. You become not full of yourself. You become humbled, right?
Yes, exactly.
And then verse 3, because I'm now in James 1, actually have it opened here. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. That patience is a loyalty, a reliance on God to show up with his grace and his mercy. And it's a loyalty that is an unswerving commitment that you learn for him and his presence in
are you there?
In your time of need. I'm here.
Hello.
I'm here.
Did I get a button?
We had the red box. Hello, tests.
Yep, I'm here. Okay, I guess okay. We lost you there for a second.
Well, I haven't tried to do Skype and encode at the same time in quite a while. So it's working at all. I'm happy. So there you go.
Is that like walking and chewing bubble gum?
And rubbing your stomach?
Yeah.
Patting your head?
I don't know. Where was I when we lost the feed?
I believe
I was looking.
Good.
Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. The patience definition that I was working on was an unswerving loyalty and commitment to a purpose is what you learn. And that purpose is that what you learn is to substantiate that unswerving commitment to the Lord is his unswerving commitment to you. He teaches showing.
Well, you know, I mean, that's what hit me this morning when I was reading was something that I tried to expound upon was that Psalm 9:10 where it says, "And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee." You know, the one thing that what James always hit me, the Lord kind of showed me this, is, you know, this is, you know, the counter all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. The vision that I kind of had when that the Lord showed me is that, you know, when we fall into this mud pit and we get covered in mud, you know, you have the devil sitting there accusing, you know, how it says that the devil stands before the throne of God accusing the saints. The devil's sitting there accusing us and saying, "See, Lord, he doesn't believe in you. See, he's a failure. See, Lord, he's going to continue to let you down." And what the Lord kind of brought to me is that at the point where we're deep in that mire and that mud pit, when we turn our eyes to the Lord then and we say, "Lord, I need you." The Lord turns to the devil and says, "See, he believes me. He's mine." And that's kind of why that mud pit is that we have, so that if we seek the Lord, he demonstrates to us that he'll pull us out of that mud pit. Does that make sense to you on that?
Yeah. The showing up in time of need is a result of you being obedient to what you know. And when I think of showing up, I think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego with Daniel and their obedience put them in extraordinary circumstances, and God showed up for them extraordinarily, and it was a revival. So
yep.
It's how committed are you to the Lord based on what he showed to you was his commitment.
Yeah.
That while you were yet sinners, while you were his enemy, he commended his love in that he spared not his only son. So,
well, you know, the thing where I know a lot of people walk is they get this really wrong sense of the Lord being with them because everything's going well in their life.
Right.
You know,
right.
Hey, you know, I have a beautiful wife, I have a good job, you know, I, you know, don't have all these things going on. And, you know, what the Lord is, you know, when you go to that, I mean, it's kind of what the Lord's been hitting on me on that whole thing, is you get to that point where you no longer have, you're no longer exercising faith in anything, you know? And that's something that's dangerous on there.
Yeah, the other thing is, and that's an interesting point, and I want to develop on that a little bit. When, out of James, when you are tempted and you don't fall, your faith isn't tried, and you get proud. And that causes you to fall. But, you know, what in 2 Peter, because we were touching a little bit on 2 Peter in chapter 1 this morning, when in verse 10, where Peter says, you know, if you're diligent to do all these things, neither be barren or unfruitful, and you will not fall. And I'm paraphrasing something I should be looking at. Let me get there. Dance or sing or something while I'm trying to get there. It's like, oh, gosh. Let's see.
Dancer sing. Oh, you don't want to hear me sing.
Yeah. With you and Philip here, hey, I will sound good by comparison. That's all I got to say. And that's what you do to feel better about yourself.
yeah, you're pushing us under the bus again. That's kind of what you like to do.
It'll be entertaining to me. There's no virtue in any of that, but it will be entertaining. Yeah. Wherefore, the rather brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. And the things that you give diligence to are, in verse 5, 6, 7, 8. And this isn't fall in diverse temptation. This is fall from grace. These things are important. And if you don't want to fall from grace, you give diligence to these things. This stuff, I cite Philippians, work out your salvation in fear and trembling. It scares the ever-loving
stuff out of you.
Stuff out of me, yeah. S-word. And it should. We are at enmity with God when we're in the carnal mind that judges and esteems everything in the way that you were just describing. As the bank account's got stuff in it, the wife isn't running around, she keeps the house all right, and the kids haven't been put in jail, so everything's going fine. And how you can esteem your relationship with God is all right when you don't have one. It's that flailing around with the hand trying to, come close to his arm that's outreaching to you. You don't get any points for coming close. You get points for grabbing hold of it and not letting go until you're with him in his eternal kingdom.
The pictures me is that, when you're on that merry-go-wheel, you don't want to talk
go
about
round.
That's easy for you to say.
when you're in that situation that the wife, I got money in the bank, and the wife is, doing all right, the kids are, A students, which I've never met a non-A student in school, according to the parents.
Of course.
You don't even reach out your arm. You don't even reach out and try to do a high five.
No.
You're saying, hey, I like this ride.
Woo, I'm all right. I'm all right.
Yeah, look
you're
at
all
me.
Right. Well, that's what part of what the ministry of the word is, to bring people to account. And hopefully they can receive how far short they fall. My experience for years was kind of a secondhand faith. I feel good about myself because I know somebody who believes. And it doesn't work that way. And, it's it's those vagabond Jews that went off trying to cast out devils in the name of that God whom Paul and Jesus preach. And what happened to them?
Well, I tell you what, I'm more like that one who says, well, at least I'm not as bad as that poor schmuck over there. That's just as bad.
Yeah. But that secondhand faith, I beseech you in the name of the God that Jesus and Paul preached. They said, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. You? I don't know.
That's just it. I mean, it's going, this person needs ministering to. Let me go take them over to Paul's house or Steve's house or Charlie's house. Because, my faith is, I don't want to talk about me. But, praise God. That's one of the things, thank God it's not about the man. But, you know, what I was hitting on...
You have three of the closest to absolute total reprobates within the idea of what are the confines of a ministry sitting before you. There's nothing good here, I'm telling you. And we're not proud of it.
But you know, one of the things in 1 Peter 1:10 here, it says, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure."
Yeah.
You know, one of the things is making your election sure, I mean, your election of God. I mean, you know, you take your choice in the matter of actually electing His ways and what He would have you do over what you would have you, actually just casting off what you would have you, but making Him Lord, you know.
There's so many places in which you're called to choose to do the right thing. You know, these are things in 1 Peter that you have to decide to do. You give all diligence to your faith, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to be barren or unfruitful in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I have to decide that I'm going to give all diligence to all this other stuff.
Well, I mean, you know, neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The opposite, you know, of being barren and unfruitful is, look, I never knew you.
Yeah.
You know, I want to know Him.
Yeah.
You know, and I look throughout, and what I'm saying is I look throughout the whole day. I mean, we have jobs. We have, you know, we have the things that we do on a daily basis. And are we doing this? Are we doing this throughout our day? Are we practicing faith in Him and His way? Are we doing this throughout our day? You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, this is one of the things that was just striking me the past couple weeks. It's like, man, I hope, God, I can just get through the day.
I didn't bring you over here to make me feel uncomfortable now.
Well, I wasn't... But now that has to change for me.
Yeah.
I know it does. There was a time I was seeking for this. I lost sight of that. You know, I praise God for some of the things that Charlie has talked with and Davey I've talked with and some of about in James where we started. You count it all joy when you fall in the divers temptations.
Yeah.
But I know that this needs to be ever before me.
Yep.
The Spirit.
Well, you know, I know that when you go back to the James and you look at all this thing, all that sort of, is that it all brings it back to you, the Lord demonstrating His faithfulness in that He doesn't forsake us. If we keep our eyes on Him. And I know that, you know, it's like, I don't have children, so I can't speak what children are like. But I know that just because your child misbehaves, doesn't mean you cast them off. And I know that's the way the Lord is to us. Except the only difference is that He has perfect love towards children, unlike what I think other parents would have. I'm not speaking for myself here. But I know that.
Amen. And, you know, that's the things that it breaks my heart. I mean, you know what I mean? To the point of, you know, when you look at, when I look at myself and the truthness of myself and this just how wretched I am, and God can still loves me, even though I'm this way. You know, that's great.
But you know, I think the thing where it really comes back to is, you know, the Lord talks about calling the base things of the earth. You know, if he in if he can use us and demonstrate his love and his power through us, I mean, how does that testify to other people? That they look at us and they say, well, come on, they got, you know, three screws loose type of thing. But they recognize that God is available. You know, God is in them. God can be in me too. You know, and that's one thing I think that's always so confusing for people is that, you know, I like to flip through the channels on TV and we get, and I quote unquote Christian stations. And frankly, I tell you what, none of those people on the channels looking like anybody in this ministry. Maybe for Steve. But, you know, I mean.
And they end up making me mad. Not for a good reason. Not because of the greatness of their testimony. It's because they're just, you know.
They're worthless.
Yeah, absolutely. I know I'm worthless, but they don't.
No, I agree with you on that. But, you know, it comes back to when, you know, the Lord is calling the highways and the byways out there. Right? And I would say we have a pretty good representation of the highways and byways here in the ministry. You know, and if the people who are in the highways and byways can look at us and say, well, Jesus loves that screw up. He could love me. And you know, and that's actually, it took me a long time to get to the point to recognize really just how base I am. And to actually be thankful for it. You know, be thankful for, you know, if God can work through me and loves me for who I am, I'm thankful for that.
One of the things that Davey used to tell me all the time was, because, you know, he'd be parading something, you know, he'd gotten, or, you know, he prayed for and God provided for him, and I'd be going, well, I ask for stuff all the time. How come I don't get anything? And he said, I guess God loves me more than he does you. And I'd be going,
yeah.
Well, somewhere in all those years, you know, I've come to realize that, you know what, he did love him more than me at that point. And, you know, he's brought me along a little bit. Now I know he loves me just as much as he does Davey. And I know that Davey has a job in his ministry. I have a job in his ministry. And he gives me what I need.
Yeah. Well, you know, it reminds me of a thing. I was in a situation once where I was praying for something. You know, and you know, the Lord was working on me in a couple things. And I won't go into all the details about it because it's actually kind of embarrassing, I think, which is a good thing. But anyway, for those who don't know, my last name is Hocker, H-O-C-K-E-R. And I was praying for a particular thing once, and this was during this whole period. And then I opened up the comics one day, and there's this comic that used to run called Small Society. Now, it was kind of an obscure comic. But anyway, the main character in the thing, in this comic strip, his name is Hawker, and it said, you know, God answers all prayers, Hawker. Sometimes the answer is no. And I was like, just during this period of time, I opened up the comic, and I'm like, huh. Is the Lord maybe trying to tell me something?
Yes, it stinks to be you, Hawker.
Well, no, yeah, but it came back to the Lord does answer all prayers. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the answer's no. You know? And it goes back to James, you ask not and you receive not, because you ask amiss.
Yeah.
You know, and but I thought it was kind of, it's always a little, I got the comic, you know, because it was like, oh, this is really cool. Because I cried, not getting an answer, you know. But, you know, and so it goes back to kind of what Paul was saying about, you know, the Lord answered Davy's prayers, but he'd answer Paul's type of thing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the Lord's not going to give us a serpent if he knows it's going to kill us.
Right.
And I know that often when we pray in the wrong spirit, or we pray in a way, or we go down a path that's not good for us. And it's not pleasant when we don't get our way, but it's to our salvation that we don't all the time. Because, you know, I mean, if my prayers are answered, I win the mega bucks or the Powerball, and oh Lord, look what I would do with that money. Yeah, new car, new fan for the ministry, but I know that it would be to my detriment.
A radio network.
Fleet of Harleys, yep.
I mean a physical one, not just one, a distribution point. I mean 200 radio stations.
Mine would just to not be to work anymore. I don't want to work anymore. I'm 31. I'm not even coming close to retirement. That's terrible. I'm terrible. I mean, look at it's like one of these things that, I'm going through this work. I'm searching for, asking for, okay, what are my options for a different position? This is what I'm getting at. I'm really driving this.
You can kneel down. You can lay down.
I'm like, what are my options? I don't want to do this anymore. I'm managing. I don't like it. My flesh doesn't like it, And, so I'm searching around. I'm finding ways to maybe find another position for me. And what I'm finding is I'm getting a shut door at every angle. I'm thinking, this is just kind of what I'm going through now. I guess I can share it now on the air. Why not? But what I'm finding is that avenue seems to be shut everywhere I look. And, the opportunity that I have there at my job to minister God's grace and dealing with the people that I deal with that are just like me, and it's a great opportunity, and my eyes are starting to come open to that, and all I could really think about was just how it was affecting me earlier, as I was searching for something else. So it's kind of a blessing in that manner, as you were talking about that earlier. I'm done now.
Well, I understand the job thing. And you figure that the Lord's going to move you where he wants you to move you. And part of it's him teaching you that he's with you regardless of where he puts you. Yeah. But I understand that retirement part there, Phil.
Scott says he agrees.
I've been working 11 years now, and I'm ready to retire.
Oh, man.
I think what's going to be happening, though, is we're going to start seeing transitions for people. And everything to move to ministry on a more full-time basis. And, the Lord's just bringing you through it. And I think we're going to see that for a lot more people in that. And so I praise God for that.
Gail says, what good thing would you be doing with your idle hands? It doesn't matter. It won't be changing tires. And that's a pretty good thing.
I like playing video games.
Boy, we are surely good examples, profitable servants.
Gail has a good point there. And I know for myself, I'm one of these type of people that, the Proverbs talks about the sluggard turning on his bed and all that sort of stuff. Unfortunately, that hits home pretty hard to me, and You know, unless I have something pressing on me, I don't get anything done. You know, I mean, if I say, hey, I've got this project I need to do, I've got 3 weeks to do it, it'll be done the last 2 days. And I know that the idle hands part is really a reflection of I'm not like the ant.
Yeah.
On there, so. Feels like the little he's an ant type of guy, though.
You say that, and but I don't see where you're getting that from. You know, but I mean, I tell you, if I'm not moving, I'm growing. I'm getting. I get very not in a good place. So, you know, that is very true.
Yeah. I could sit there and not move all day long and just bother me.
If we get wandering to a field, I have a couple of songs in the queue that I can go to if we need a break. I'm just saying, not that I'm suggesting that we're wandering a field or anything.
Okay, Paul. So where should we go next?
Anywhere. I'm going to play a song about that. All right, let's do this. Wow, Lord Undo Me. That's It's a pretty good song. Not a prayer that you necessarily want to have happen to you because it can look ugly.
Yeah, undo you?
If you know, I'm just saying. Sometimes when you need undoing, undoing can look pretty ugly.
Well, you know the thing where I think going back to what Phil was talking about, and I know it's happening in a lot of our lives, is one thing that the Lord does is he talks about mentions it kind of in Proverbs. You know, where he talks about removing the dross from the silver. Is, you know, if we're to be purified, a lot of times he'll allow things in our lives to heat up and allow the impurities, you know, that being attitudes, carnal mind, all that good stuff, to be brought to the surface so that he can remove it from us. You know, just as silver is refined, you heat it up, you cool it down, and you're able to skim off that impurities that's within that silver. And I know that part of the thing that Phil was describing is really that part of being heated up so that he could remove parts of you that prevent you from being a better servant of the Lord. And it's a tough thing, you know, but it's to our salvation that it happens.
Amen. Amen to that, Charlie. And I was just talking to somebody about that this morning as well. And that's very true.
Well, you know, and I think it even goes back to James. I mean, you know, falling into that diverse temptations is a method of purification in the sense that it brings out those things that the Lord can then deal with us on. You know, because I know for myself, I've hung on to things for many, many years, and part of that was getting it boiled out to the point where I saw it for what it was worth, and I said, Lord, I'm tired of it. You know, Lord, I'm, you know, specifically recently I'm thinking of the bitterness and that I had hung on for years because of things that had happened in my past, and I could probably go back to my childhood in this, not necessarily things here, but getting to the point where I no longer wanted that. And I know that's part of the issue is the Lord, for me, bringing that up so that I can go forth and serve him better. Because that root of bitterness will kill you. It'll rob you of all the joy that the Lord can give you.
Amen. And you can't...
And it manifests in sickness.
And you can't get... And to get shed of that is good. I mean, you can't enter in with that garbage.
And, no.
By those things happening and that getting that stuff taken away from you is a blessing. It's a very good thing.
Well, you know where, and unfortunately I often lose sight of this fact, you know, it was said that, you know, the attitude that you die with is the attitude that you enter heaven with. And, you know, I often lose sight of that fact and say, oh, I want to hang on to this attitude that I have. But if the Lord loves me, he's going to bring that out. And I know that a lot of Christians have this misconception that when they die, instant presto change, they're in heaven, and them and the Lord are best buds, they hang out, have a couple beers together, you know, they do whatever, and they're not recognizing that, you know, if I die with animosity toward my brother, who's to say I'm not going to go to heaven with that? And first time I see my brother, go, hey, you know, SOB, and hit the, all of a sudden find myself in the down elevator, you know? And it's that being shed of these things that we have to do, and it's hard.
Yeah.
You know, because it's just
I'm sorry, go ahead, Charlie.
No, go ahead, Phil.
Apologize for being sorry.
I apologize for being sorry. it reminds me of Psalm 51. You know, created me a clean heart. You know, and you know, I look at that also as relating to some of that, because that created me a clean heart. You know, when it talks about purge me with hyssop, you know, that's an expectorant. That's all that garbage coming up, you know, to get rid of. And you know, you pray that prayer, and it's like, you know, hang on, you know, but it's a necessary thing, because I mean, you need it. You need it.
And the other side of that too is, you know, when a person's going through that sort of thing, it gives others around you to exercise that love and that charity toward that person who's going through there, going through that, you know, being purged of that stuff. And it goes back to that experience side of things where when others around you see you going through this, they can come back and they can say, been there, done that, you know. And that's where the Lord brings back, you know, our past to be able to minister to others.
And that's where you can operate in 1 Peter,
mm-hmm.
where it talks about, you know, where were we at on that? But being diligent and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can operate in that for somebody else, for somebody else's sake in Him. And, you know, what I think, I'm reading something here on the chat that it says, it is how we come to see the weeds and become entirely willing to get shed of. You know, and that's the other thing. You know, we, and then we have choices as this stuff comes up. I mean, you pray creating me a clean heart. I mean, we have the choices to either hang on to this or get rid of it. You know, I mean, one thing I know Steve was talking about this morning was free will. By right, that's the only thing, the only promise you have is free will. And that's it. I mean, that's just it. You know, we're going to choose to really want to get rid of this stuff, or we're going to choose to hang on to it as well as this process comes about.
Yeah.
You know,
and the thing that's frightening to me is I've been in this ministry now 20 years, and I can't count the number of people who I've seen come through this, and some people for a very long, who have been here for a long time before me, who are no longer here, how when it came to the process of being weeded, refused to let go, and themselves got weeded, you know, became a weed, and they died and departed. I'm talking about a spiritual one. I'm hoping there's still a little bit left, and we see them back. I'm hopeful on that. But you know, it's, you know, we have to be willing to go through that weeding process.
Yeah, I was just thinking on. There's been many times in the ministry. You know, I'm not one that joined the ministry and stayed with the ministry. I've left many times because of the weeding process, and. You know, that's one of the things that scares me. You know, when I was talking to I think it was Tuesday night, we had a Bible study. You know, I came over to Paul's and said, "Man, I'm scared, man. I know me. You know, I know me." And that's you know where I got fearful in. But that's the same. That fear is also the same thing that drives me to take a look at what I'm doing. You know, in my everyday. You know, is it seeking to please the Lord, regardless of how much of a scumbag I am or not? Because we know that the Lord is well able, and it drives me to motivate to obey Him.
You know? We only have like a minute and a half, so I want to. We're hitting around here defined as chastisement and. There are two things that I want to point out. One in James chapter 1. It says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. And I know that it's not joyful. So it's it takes somebody to point out to you that, you know, you have gotten to see and have manifested in you the grace that is available to you. And when you see that there's yet more grace available to you, that's a joyous thing.
Amen.
And secondly, out of Hebrews chapter 12, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to them which are exercised thereby. And, you know, another one of my favorite phrases, exercised thereby. You need to have the Lord pull the weeds.
Amen.
And help you get shed of that stuff. And it doesn't seem joyous until you realize that, you know, there's peaceable fruit coming from this. And the Lord's good. He's not doing this because he's a mean SOB. He's doing this because we need it and he loves us.
Amen.
And you know what? That's probably a pretty good place to close out. And I'm going to say, y'all have a great week. Thank you for joining me. And stay tuned for the Jesus Factor with Scott Stevens.